30 seconds. That's it.
30 seconds.
Okay, we're continuing in the Gemara. After we discussed the idea of two people from one window, two people from the other window, and we're saying that they have exactly what is, but at least some of the two have to see the other two, and they see the guy in the middle, then it combines. And if it combines, then it all goes together regardless, to be strict or lenient. If they can't see each other, they're separate, and one has nothing to do with the other. Fine, there was a machlokes. Do the people witnessing have to give the warning? The Tanakhama says they don't. Rabbi Yo says they do. We hold it the Tanakhama. Fine. That was all with two witnesses from two different windows. Now, we're going to talk about one witness. Now, you understand, I got two witnesses and two witnesses. So, they were both on their own good groups. The only question was, do they combine? That was the discussion. There was no issue as to, well, these two are witnesses and these two are witnesses. That's not a problem. Because you combine them to connect them in terms of Adim Zomamim and all these other things. Now we're going to drop it down a level, meaning to say, so far each group was okay by themselves. This group was okay. When each group is okay by themselves, then there's a discussion, what has to happen to put them together? Okay? Since each one is okay on its own, like, these guys are good. These guys are good. I don't need you. You don't need me, so to speak, because they can each come and testify. But the question is, what would link two already existing separate groups together? Okay? Now, I'm stressing this because the next point in the Gemara is going to be quite a different issue, and you're going to wonder what's going on over here. So while the Mishnah talk about two and two, comes along Rav Zutra, Amar Rav Zutra Bar Tuvia Amar Rav Zutra, the son of Tuvia, in the name of Rav, says, Minayin le'edas miyuchedes shehi pesula. Okay, from where do we know that a set, an edus miyuchedes, comes from the word echod, one, but meaning to say isolated witnesses, is invalid. What does that mean? Let's say you had one witness at one window and one witness at another window. And let's say there's a guy in between who was giving a warning. So now these two witnesses, they just come to court. One witness comes. But they never were together in terms of being in the same place. Right. But they were in separate windows. So what would be the law there? So he's saying clearly the law, and they didn't see each other. They didn't see each other. Now, obviously, they had to see the guy warning in the middle. There's nothing to talk about. There had been no warning. What's to talk about, right? But one guy's looking from the window. One guy's looking from the window. They don't see each other. They both have seen the event that happened. They both probably saw, heard the guy warning them. He's just assuming that it's invalid. The two cannot be combined. In other words, the rule is each one is considered one guy. It's not a pair of witnesses. Even though on the one hand, there were two human beings who witnessed the event, but they didn't see it together in the same place. How do we know that they are puzzled? They're invalid to work together to get the law done. Now, obviously, we're not saying they're liars or anything, but just like if one witness walks into a court and says, I saw so-and-so warn somebody, or one witness does nothing. So the fact that there's one witness here and one witness, and they did not see each other together, even though you really have two witnesses, but they weren't together, how do we know it's invalid? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, we're not saying each man is a bad man. It's like two ones coming into court. Yeah. So how do you, that's what miyuchedes means. So isolated witnesses. There are two witnesses, but they were looking from two different windows and they didn't see each other. How do you know it's invalid?
Rabbi, even if their stories are identical.
Doesn't matter. Because they have to have two witnesses who were witnessing together. Now, again, I wouldn't say that by myself. I would say, why not? You have two witnesses, it's two guys. Why should it matter? But obviously, Torah thinks otherwise.
But didn't we accept already the fact that in this group, it was one guy who saw, both of them are wine grapes.
Yeah, but remember in the Mishnah, there were two people at this window.
Yes.
And two, we're not arguing whether these two witnesses are valid witnesses, these two.
Right,
that's fine.
And these two, but the question, can we combine them to become a group of four? That was the Mishnah. That's why I belabored that in the beginning.
Yes, okay.
The question is, when you have, this is a good pair, this is a good pair. Now, can I combine them to be a group of four, and therefore one pair has to be in the same boat as the other pair? And if we invalidate one group, then the other ones become invalidated. Okay. Or if you invalidate one, you can't kill them till you invalidate all of them.
Okay.
That was the issue when they each stand alone as a good group. But now we're going back a step. Where here there's not a group, here there's not a group. You might have thought they can combine and become two witnesses. No, it's possible. What's the source for this? And it's an interesting source. Shenemar, it says like this. You have to look very, it says, one of the psukim says, Lo yumas al pi eid echod. You don't convict, execute anybody by the word of one person. So you would have thought it meant to say, when there's one witness who goes, we don't kill somebody because there's only one witness. But you can't say that. Why can't you say that? Because of another pasuk. My echad, what do you think it says when you can't execute someone with one witness? So you might have thought, Elema, if you want to say that means what? Eid echad mamish, really one witness. I don't need that for you to tell me. Because let's look at the beginning of the very same pasuk. Yeah. What does it say beforehand? Meiresha. Shami, I already know that from the first part of the pasuk. Because what does the first part say? Al pi shnayim eidim. That through two witnesses you're executed. Now, when you say you need two witnesses executed, do I need to be told that one witness does not?
No.
So, but the God still wrote it. So what did he write it for? Must be trying to tell us something else. Elamai echad. What does it mean? One. It means echad, echad. Witness who observe a crime one by one. In other words, individual witness an event in isolation from each other. The verse teaches that though there are two witnesses to the crime, the testimony is not sufficient to sentence a person to death because they do not combine to form a set of witnesses. Thus, the second part of the verse, he shall not be executed by the word of one witness, teaches that even where there are two witnesses to the crime, the accused should still not be put to death if those witnesses are in some respect like single witnesses. In other words, individuals do not see each other. Because what else was God trying to tell us? If it says you can't, you have to kill with two, you have to have two to kill, and then says you can't kill with one, well, of course you can't kill one if you need two. So it means one, in other words, a situation where you would think that one would be good enough. One here and one there. Ones do not combine. That is a big chiddush. Wow. I would not have said that, but the Almighty's infinite wisdom knows better.
Yeah, the Torah is right on the money because legal contracts have a one witness has to witness that fact. They see
legal contracts on the money.
They see the second. You see a legal contract. There's two lines for witnesses. One witness is witness that they saw the other witness.
Okay.
You're witnessing the signature. You need two because one has to confirm the other one.
Okay, but anyway, I don't see. There's no sfara brought over here, but that's the halacha. And so this was a rabbi saying, well, that's where you know it. Now that's the textual source. Now we're going to show you a brisa that says it explicitly. Tanya Namiachi, we've already learned this in a brisa. Now, Rabbi, he makes a comment. Seemingly the Gemara could have cited our Mishnah as proof for Rav's law. What would be the proof from the Mishnah? It does not do so because the Mishnah deals with a case in which there are two witnesses in each window. Since each of these groups would form a set in any case, that's what I was speaking out. Their failure to see each other does not lead to the loss of their testimony, merely to their being considered two sets rather than one. This does not prove that we do not accept the testimony of two single witnesses all simply because they didn't see each other. And we're so sad, why didn't we bring a proof from the Mishnah? You don't combine the two. The answer is because they're already okay on their own. They don't need to be combined. But I might think that one and one could be combined so you can do justice. So that's why we can't bring a proof from the Mishnah. Rather, we have the pasuk and we're going to have a brisa. Yeah?
Just a question from our Mishnah. Does the guy who is being matre in the middle and giving the warning, does he not combine the two groups even if the two people in the buildings don't see each other? If they both see the guy who's giving the warning...
No.
They have to see each other.
Now, they could come as two separate groups.
Yes.
They can come as two separate groups.
Yeah.
And one group has nothing to do with the other.
Yeah.
No, but the guy in the middle, he doesn't combine them somehow because they both see him?
No, if they don't see each other, then they are not combined.
They see the guy in the middle, but they don't see each other.
They don't. Mm-hmm. Now, if they see each other, now they have to hear his warning.
Yeah.
That's the main point. He doesn't have to see anybody. The guy warning them doesn't see anything. Yeah. They need to know there was a warning.
Yes.
How do you know he was warned?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a guy warned. That's just part of the facts on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, there's a machlokas. Tanakhama says the witnesses don't have to warn.
Yeah.
So each pair stands alone and can come to a court without any problems. The Mishnah was dealing with, do we combine the two separate sets and make them, what has to, for that?
Yeah.
Then they have to see each other. Here we're talking about just one witness and one witness. So now they bring a brisa that says the exact same thing. Lo yoma, it says, the pasuk says, lo yumas al pi eid echad. You don't execute someone based on one witness. So what's that coming to include? We don't kill lahavi. That includes shnayim, two people, shirono, so that two people saw the event. However, echad mechalon, that one looked from one window. One look from another window. They don't see each other. They don't combine. Now the Brisa adds a new point. A new point with the same result. Not only that, if there are two separate windows, they don't count. Even if it's one guy witnessed from this window, and 2 minutes, and then he left, and 2 minutes later, this guy looked from the same window and saw the event.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
They still don't combine.
No.
Even when they're in the same window, Ain meets Starfin, they're not combined. Because they didn't.
Not at the same time, but from the same window.
Same window?
Yeah, not at the same time.
But one a little bit later. They each saw him commit part of the crime.
Yeah, okay.
But they didn't see it together. So we're saying, so the first halacha is two separate windows, same time, but they don't see each other, don't combine. Next one is, guys at this one, he sees the beginning of the crime, leaves. Another guy comes to the same window, sees the end of the crime. And even though they were at the same window, but again, they weren't together. So there's not being together in space, place, and not together in time. That's what the two things the Bryce is saying. Still, aim it starving. Now, that's what the Brisa says. Rav Papa is just asking a technical question, which I'm surprised nobody asked me that question yet. Armele Rav Papa, Rav Papa asks Abaye, wait a minute, I don't understand the second part of that Brisa. Hashta, if you already said in the first part, Uma echad mechalon zeh, echad mechalon zeh. When there's one by one window, one, and they're seeing it at the same time, the high kochazi kulma, I said this one saw the entire act of the crime. Vahai kochazi kulma, this one saw the entire act of the crime. And yet the Brisa says, Amarta says, Loma Sevi, they don't combine. So what do you need the second half for? Bezecher zeh, one after the other, where it's much worse. Vahai kochazi palgadama, I said, one's only half an act. Vahai kochazi palgadama, I said, one's half an act. Me boy, is even a question? Why does he have to mention it? Surely it's obvious that they cannot combine since neither of them actually saw the entire crime being committed.
That's right. Yeah.
There are at most two single witnesses each testifying about half a crime.
Yeah.
Some more answers. There are some crimes that to be punished you only have to see half the crime. Could you think of one?
Whoa.
Sota.
Well,
I don't want to. Let's not go to Sota because murder. That's a different case.
That puts it in the knife.
No, murder. There's only one moment of actual killing. You know, you could see the guy strings him up, ties him up, starts punching him. The guy's still alive. Then he leaves. The other guy sees the final knife. Not murder. Try to figure a different capital crime where you could testify that.
Bia.
Immoral relations. Immoral relations, it isn't just 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what he said, you know, you can't really testify to the actual act of intimacy because their bodies are in between each other. You can't actually see that. But what you could see that they're together in bed, you know, doing what they're doing. So that, you don't, there's an extended period of time that in which if you see anything, that already is the immoral act. Different than murder. Murder, it's just, you know, that 3, 4, 5 seconds where you pull the trigger and shoot the guy or stab him and he's dead. Remember, you can only testify in a murder case when you actually see the guy take his life away from him. You see the guy's alive and the guy's dead. The witness has to see both. If he just comes, you know, if he walks by and sees a guy pulling the knife out after he stabbed him, he can't testify because maybe he was stabbing a dead guy.
How does he know he's dead?
He sees he stabs him, and then he leaves, and then they call 911. The guy's dead. Okay, but death, you know, killing. There's only a very small window. You got to see them together. Yeah. But immorality is a longer window. You don't. There's the act of intimacy is over time, and over time, as long as you see any part of that time, then that is significant enough, as we'll see. Amar Lay, he says, you're right. By murder, you couldn't combine them. But lo nisku, you need to mention ella lebo ella sa'erva. Someone is cohabiting with an erva. In this case, each of the two witnesses may briefly observe a part of the firmament and still testify about a complete transgression. The brisa must therefore teach that they nevertheless do not combine to form because they didn't see it simultaneously. Mm-hmm. Here's the point. To excuse for having with an erva, it is not necessary for the witness to observe the act from beginning to end. Merely to see enough of it to make it clear they are engaged in a conjugal act. The Gemara later on in Daf Zion will say what exactly do they have to see. But it's not possible. Can you see the guy put his physical organ into her organ? Can you ever see that? What do you see? You see they're in a bed. And he's on top of her. And they don't have any clothes on.
Oh, you don't know what's going on.
Sammy, I don't think you believe in the stork story, do you?
Specific when you witness something?
What?
You have to be specific.
Okay, I saw a man lying on top of a woman. She's groaning. He's going, and they're clutching each other and hanging each other. They were just cuddling up. No.
It's a life-to-life resuscitation.
It's not, Sammy. No, they were both talking, they were both smiling and laughing and frolicking, okay? You can't see his organ going into her organ because it's like this. You can't, what are you going to say? Excuse me, can you lift yourself up so I can see? You can't do that.
Can you assume that's what's happening?
It's more than assume, okay? It's more than assume. That's what happened. Right, that's going on over there. So it's very specific. I saw Mr. Schwartz and Mrs. Weiss. He was on top of her. They had no clothes on. They were hugging and kissing, and his body, the lineup of his body, would have his penis over her over there, and that was pretty much good enough. But you know, it's not like, she's lying like this, and he's lying like this. No, he's lying right on top of her. Okay, you can't see the sexual organs because they're backs.
Of course not.
So that's all you got to see. So, and if they were like that for 10 minutes, so the guys there watching the first 5 minutes, and they said, what did you say? I saw him on top of her. The other guy comes from, I saw him on top of her. Right? So usually the act is not just, it really technically only takes maybe 15 seconds for the actual. It doesn't work that way. Okay, so that's clear how you could see that. So this too is a form of isolated witnessing, since neither one saw the other witness at the moment that he himself witnessed. Now the Brisa, which uses the phrase "and moreover" to introduce the second half, indicates there's a greater novelty in disqualifying two who saw from the same window one after the other than in disqualifying two who saw someplace from different windows. It says not only this, but even that. The reason for this is that in the case of two who saw one after another from the same window, the two witnesses of the act were each also aware that the other witnessed the same act that he did. It's just they did not witness it together at the same time. The Brisa teaches that this too constitutes a pair of isolated witnesses. Okay, fine. So that's clear. We have a Brisa, we have a statement, we have a pasuk, we got everything. So two isolated witnesses, even though they saw the same event, either at the same time in different places, or the same place but at different times, but it's good enough to combine, they saw enough of the immoral act, not included.
Does anybody come up with any other explanation for that pasuk that says more than one witness?
Not that I'm aware of.
Nobody challenges this?
Nope. That's it. Unless you want to think of another shot.
No, I know. It's, in other words, God said this is the way it is. This is the way it is. I'm just trying to understand.
That doesn't make sense.
The logic. Why, you know, I know we don't understand.
A pair of witnesses, obviously has to be a pair of witness together. That's what we're being told over here. But we're not quite finished. There's going to be a little bit more detail over here. How about the following? So what was the case we presented? One guy here. But how about Omar Rava comes along, Rava, Imhoyu Roin es Hamasra, if the witnesses in different windows saw the person giving the warning. Now this is interesting. O Hamasra Ro son, or the guy warning saw them, then Mitstarfin, they combined to form a set. Okay, now we got to understand what's going on. We got to understand what's going on over here. Let's see what's going on. Rava refers to the case of the Brisa we just read. If the single witnesses in each of the windows both saw the person giving the warning, or he saw them, then even though the two witnesses did not see each other, they combined to form a set. Thus, the accused would be convicted by their testimony. Hang on. So they're saying, well, if they see, well, I have a question on this, but hold on. Yeah. Others explain Rava's ruling to refer back to the Mishnah. Mm-hmm. He's not going on what we just talked about. He's going to the Mishnah with two and two. Okay. If the two witnesses in each of the windows saw the person giving the warning, or he saw them, then even though the two groups of witnesses did not see each other, they combined to form a single set. Okay. Thus, if only some of them were found to be Zomim, they would not be punished. And even if one of them was found to be squalid, the assessment of all would be invalidated. It is merely that they interpret. So Tosfos also agree that this is the law. Okay, I'm trying to figure where the brackets end. It is merely that the interpreter of statement. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so it comes out from both Tosfos and Ritva emerges that Mishnah does not require the witness to see the person giving the warning or he them. Rather, the involvement of that person merely adds another way for combining witnesses into a set. Yeah. According to Ritva, Rava means to say that this passage was actually alluded to in the Mishnah's reference to some of them seeing each other. In other words, either some of the witnesses saw each other, or they saw the person giving the warning, or he saw them. So this is also another review regarding this matter, blah, blah, blah. Now, so in other words, we have two ways of understanding this statement of Rava. And I still have my question I'm going to ask in a minute. Is it going on the first case, on what we're just dealing with, the Brisa? Two guys from two different places, they don't combine. But if they see the guy giving the warning, or the guy warning them, they see them, then it combines them. Okay. Or is it going on the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says if they see each other, they get combined. Now he's saying, no, it's good enough if they see the guy warning or the guy warning them, he can come. That's another way of combining them.
That doesn't make sense.
Now, here's the question. The Rishon, let's hope this is the question I have. The Rishon raised the following question. Where each of the two isolated witnesses, or sets of witnesses, whichever interpretation you want to go with, say that he saw the person giving the warning, we have the testimony of two witnesses to establish that they are indeed combined. Okay? However, when he saw the witnesses without their seeing him, how can the combination be effective? In other words, the witnesses aren't seeing each other. For if we rely on his statement that he saw them both, we're in effect executing a man on the word of a single witness. Since without this statement, he would not combine the witnesses and convict the accused. Right? So we're believing one guy over here for something. Tosfos Ritva answered that this method of combining witnesses would be effective where there were two other witnesses who testified that they saw the person giving the warning had seen the witnesses in the windows. These latter witnesses, however, did not see the crime itself. Since they play no role in establishing the crime, their observation of the witness in the windows cannot combine them. Yet their testimony can prove that the person giving the warning did see the witnesses in the windows. Whoa. That's an interesting understanding. The problem I have is like this. Let's go back. Let's go back to the first case. If there's two single witnesses, we say they don't combine. Right. Okay, I got to understand something. In other words, the only problem is that the two of them are not together. Okay. Otherwise, they would be fine. Now, how could they be fine unless they knew there was a warning?
Yeah, exactly.
We want to convict this. We want to kill this guy. right? There's a guy murdering somebody here. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a guy in this window, a guy in this window. The guy sees the whole thing, the guy sees the whole thing, right? We say they don't combine. They don't combine, right? They don't combine. They don't see each other. They don't see each other. They don't combine.
Okay.
Okay, now, why do they not combine? Well, Pasuk says so. It's a technicality. They're not together. Okay, fine. That's the only problem. In other words, otherwise, if they would combine, they could kill him, right? Right. I want to know, where's the warning? You have to say that there's a warning that the guy should get killed, but by the fact that they're separated, we don't kill. So where is the warning? You want to tell me?
Well, we just said before that the guy who was...
No, that was Rava said the next case after the Mishnah. We had the Braisa. Remember, we had the Braisa, the Halacha, and then we have Rava making a new statement.
No warning.
Let's take it step by step. The Braisa and the first rabbi said, if one guy watches from window, one guy, and they don't see each other, they don't combine.
Okay.
But that means the only problem was they didn't see each other.
Okay.
So before we come to Rava's statement, tell me exactly, why would you have thought they could combine? Where was the... So you have to say there was some warning. So where was the warning?
No warning.
Because from the next statement of Rava, he's saying that's not the bright. Rava's saying if they would have seen the guy give the warning, even though they don't see each other, they combine.
But they didn't.
But what is the original Bryce's case? There has to have been a warning, because why do I have to say it? Well, it's because of a pasuk? Say because there was no warning. But we're not saying that. We're saying, really, the guy should get executed, but the problem is the Torah says one and one don't combine if they don't see each other. So where was the warning? And it's essential. We might have thought, well, how did we say it without before Rava? Well, I guess they saw the guy give the warning. No, but Rava says if they see the guy give the warning, they are combined.
Right.
Okay, good. So I understand. If the guy gives the warning, everybody sees the guy giving the warning, or he sees them, they combine. So tell me, what's the case of the Braisa where they don't combine because of the pasuk and not because there wasn't a warning? Yeah. What do you have to say? Maybe you got to say the next line. Maybe this is what the next line of the Gemara is going to be answering. In other words, this is the question that's floating in the air. Maybe the next line of the Gemara is going to answer the question. Okay? Because Rava just made that qualifying statement. If they see the guy, right, then they've combined. But then what was the original case where they don't combine with the warning? I think that's what the Rava is trying to answer our troubling question. V'amarava comes Rava with another statement. And look at this. Master Shamar, when we say the one giving the warning of whom they spoke, right? Afilu mipi atzmo, even if the victim himself gives the warning. In other words, you know, who has to be the warner? Remember, the witnesses, they just have to see what happened. And they need to know that it was clearly mazied, and the guy knew what he was doing, and he wanted to do it anyway, even though he knew the punishment. So, I mean, obviously, the witnesses give the warning. That's the easiest, and that's the best.
Right, do
they have to give the warning? Not really. Yeah. It could be even the victim himself gives the warning. The guy says, stop, don't kill me, I'm going to kill you. Stop, it's an aver from the Torah. You're going to get punished, you're going to get the death penalty, kill me. I don't care, I'm doing it anyway. And the witnesses hear all that, see all that. Wouldn't that be a good enough warning? Does it have to be an outside party?
No.
We just need to know that the killer knew what he was doing, intended on doing what he was doing, and there was no question about what his intent was. So he's saying, even if that guy warned, Vafilo mi pi hashed, even if a demon warns him.
Okay.
The warning necessary to convict the offender need not come from one of the witnesses, but is acceptable from any source. Now, obviously, I don't know how often you're going to hear a demon speaking, but it's clear. No, back it up. There was another little comment. Oh, no, I didn't want to do that. I messed it all up. 1 minute. Okay. One second.
Why did they bring the demon in this? The demon would encourage the murdering.
No, no.
Why would he stop it?
We're just trying to say that it doesn't really matter.
Anyway.
Can be called
anyway.
I feel the piazza. Look at the Rambam adds. This Rambam says, refers to the offender himself, who declare aloud that he was aware of the criminal of what he's about to do and the punishment. Even if the killer says, I'm going to kill you. I know the Torah says I'm not allowed to kill you. I hate your guts. I don't care to burn in hell for this. I don't care if I get killed as long as I got to kill you. This is the guy killing. That's also good enough for the warning.
That's a warning to himself.
It's not the warning. You have to look. Word warning is not just don't do it. The warning means are you aware of what you're doing and that it's prohibited and what the consequences are. You know, you don't really have to say stop. You could say, do you know what you're doing? You're going to kill this guy, and the Torah says you're not allowed to, and you're going to get punished. I don't have to say, don't kill him. I don't have to say, don't. I just tell him, the Torah says you can't do that. So Rambam says, even if the killer gives us the information, even a demon, because the Rambam explained, this. What does it really mean? It means any voice whose source could not be observed. What the Mormon say, so let's say like this, and this probably answers the question. One guy looks from one window, one guy looks from the other window. What do they see? They see one guy killing another guy. Now, but they hear a loud voice. Let's say it's under the balcony. Let's say these guys are standing on balconies. Okay? So they can't see what's under the balcony, can they?
Right.
No. They can see a little bit ahead is a guy killing somebody. They hear a voice from under the balcony says, don't kill him.
Yeah.
So now did they see him?
No.
Did he see that?
No.
So I think that's the case.
Yeah. Wow.
And then, you hear what's going on?
Yeah.
In other words, if one guy's in one balcony, one guy's there, they don't see each other, but they see the whole event that's going on, and they sort of, well, can't combine it, sorry, they don't work. But where was the warning? Could be the guy below the balcony. They didn't see this guy, he didn't see them, but they heard a warning that's still not good. Comes Rava then says, but if they see the guy give the warning, he says, then they combine. I guess that's the answer to my question. No, you follow what's going on over here? So when we say that one and one don't combine, they obviously had to have heard a warning. Because they didn't hear a warning, we can't convict this guy. They come into court and say, we heard somebody from under the balcony say, don't kill him. And the guy said, I hear it, I'm going to do it anyway. Did you see him? No, I didn't see him. But I really saw everything, and I heard the warning. I saw the early warning. But you guys aren't together. Sorry, you can't combine. Comes along, Rava says, even though they can't combine, but if they saw the guy give the warning, or the warning guy saw them, then they combine.
Even if they don't see each other on the balconies.
Even though they didn't see it, because there's something that connects them for that. Okay, we're going to stop it there. There's one more point to add. I'm sorry?